Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at the OG House of M event from Marvel Comics. Let's go. Arted all over the books. This is none other than Brian Michael Bendis.
Breichel.
Yeah, so written by Brian Michael Bendis, pencils by Olivier Coipel, inker by Tim Townsend, colorist Frank DiArmada, letterers by Chris Eliopoulos, and then a whole bunch of other people doing a whole bunch of other stuff.
So can I ask a question before you dig in?
Yeah.
You said the OG House of M. Mm-hmm. Is there a non-OG House of M?
There is. Back in 2015, there's another House of M event. I actually have not read it. I only actually knew that because I was looking for this one earlier this morning.
Yeah.
To pull up on my Mac on the web thing, and it just kept showing this newer one from 2015. So, and I like thought, is this like a re-enlistment of this, and they just like refresh some of the art or something, and it was like a completely different story. So
okay,
maybe another one to read that. That being said, make sure you are reading the original. I believe this is 2007.
Okay,
when this came out, so it's definitely in the mid to upper aughts, and definitely not in the tens.
I was just becoming a professional teacher.
Really? Oh, I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I think 7-8. Was my 2007, 2008. So I was either student teaching, like when I met you for the first time, or I was teaching, depending on when this dropped
over the course of the year. Yeah, so this was one of the biggest stories in the comics world.
Yeah.
Hashtag, I'm 96% over this cough. I'm going to do my best to cut out those last few percent. Okay. Yeah, so this is a big comic event. Before we get into it, though, we have a few housekeeping things. First, if you like what you hear on these podcasts, always goes a long way to give us a review on Apple Podcasts or follow us on YouTube, where, spoilers, we might be getting back into the YouTube game a little more consistently in the near future. Also, we are separating, at least temporarily, maybe eternally.
Well, let's say we're doing a trial.
Yes, of the Alex and Drew Rank the MCU into its own podcast.
By the way, that was the chair.
That was not the chair. I saw it. I saw it come out. sorry. We're going to split this up because right now we get a lot of feedback saying that, you know, they appreciate the, people appreciate the comics and the backstories. And this is not everybody, but they really only do Marvel because of the MCU. And that's fair. That's fine. But we want to make sure that we're kind of like listening and trying out, you know, things that our audience will like. And we're going to split it up and see if we get a little more clicks on it having its own podcast.
Yeah. So the next episode that you see, which will drop the same day as this one, if everything goes to plan, will just be Alex and Drew Rank the MCU standalone episode talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 2. If you dig that, let us know by joining our Discord and telling us, hey, thank you for doing that. I like being able to go and find it instead of just having to wait till the very end of a normal episode. And if enough people dig that, then yeah, we will potentially spin it off into its own little house of A&M.
Yes.
Or A&D, Alex and Drew.
I get it.
You see what I did there?
A&M, Alex Miller, it works.
Yeah.
Alex and Morris.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so find us in all those places. I think Twitter, we're Two Man Comic Book with the number 2. Instagram, Facebook, Two Man Comic Book Club. Join the Discord link down in the show notes.
I just realized that your name is Andrew, correct?
Yes. We're both A.
Yeah, A-M. And then you said a little A and M, so Andrew Noel Morris would have worked for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe there's something there. I don't know. Anyway, we're also going to try a couple new things like format-wise today. Please don't click off just because you think this is like we're experimenting. We are, but I think it's still going to be a great episode. Drew's going to lead through some stuff that he's taken down for these first 4 issues of House of M. Some of you might have heard this referenced if you saw like the WandaVision episode. They definitely took some inspiration here and there, but it is definitely not the same.
even in the fallout that happened in Multiverse of Madness. I was getting vibes from that too.
Yeah. So, they like usual, the MCU kind of takes some liberties with the comics and kind of puts their own twist on it. But this might be a little bit of a shorter episode today because we're not tacking on.
Or it could be incredibly long.
It could be, yeah.
I don't know.
So Drew read only the main core series up through the first four issues. I read all the tie-ins as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to talk too much about them because honestly, while they are supplemental and, you know, kind of provide some good filler, I think there's a plane flying over or something.
Yeah. Or somebody's playing bucket drums.
Yeah. While they are kind of supplemental and they, you know, have some interesting story, you could definitely get by with just reading the core story.
I read the core story and yeah, I did have a few questions. But I read the first four, the first night that we were talking about reading this and I couldn't stop. So I kept reading and I read the last four.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. And I didn't feel lost at the end. I did think, you know, based on knowing some of the other line, other storylines, or the other titles is what I meant to say. There were a few times I was just like, you know, I might be interested in that. I don't know why I'm talking up this high. But I didn't miss out by skipping them.
Yes. I am going to squirrel pouch a cough lozenge and make sure to not make crazy noises into the microphone.
So while you're doing that, I'm going to leave all that in. All this extra sound of him messing with that stuff, it's going to stay in here because I want you to feel like you're in the studio with us.
In other words, there's a spot for you right there.
Yeah, on the cat tower. You can sit on the cat tower and purr at us. Anyway, indeed. I was going to ask, are you equipped to give us a 60-second catch-up of what happened before this? Or even, because like, what's the deal with Genosha?
So I have a general lay of the land.
General lay of the land.
This event, House of M, which stands for the House of Magnus, that you'll find out soon, takes place after the events of Civil War. Magneto has gone to this land that I believe is portrayed in the comics somewhere in like Eastern Europe, and he's kind of taken this place over as Genosha and like it's a sovereign city for mutants, which is kind of, you know, I don't know if they knew at the time, foreshadowing for a Krakoa-esque thing, but it's an attempt at the mutants actually having their own place.
Yeah.
During this fallout, his daughter, which there's more to talk about later if Wanda is still his daughter, Wanda Maximoff, is starting to kind of lose control over her powers and her reality warping, and she accidentally ends up killing several like mutants that are on the team. And this event, House of M, is kind of dealing with the ramifications of that and the fallout and how do we deal with a mutant that we love that is losing control of her powers and maybe even her sanity a little bit, and what do we do? And we get into kind of their approach in this very first issue.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, you're able to kind of put that together once we get to the title card, but you know, as we get started, I instantly, like anytime we jump into a random limited series or whatever, I'm always like, what happened to bring us here?
Yeah.
And that was a question I had here. So, yeah. So basically I'm going to be reading off of a quasi script here that I prepared. If you end up hating this and you're like, I like Drew off the cuff, join the Discord and let us know.
Hashtag cuff Drew.
Cuff. I feel like that's something that would be an inappropriate thing.
I hope so.
It's possible. Yeah. I'm ignorant of it, so that makes it okay. All right. So this isn't an Alex Ross cover, is it?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say. It looks like Alex Ross.
Right? I think so.
Oh, that doesn't look like. Is that Ross or ETR or something? Anyway, we're looking at the cover. It's like a oil painting, watercolor, I don't know, a really detailed painting. And it's really nice. We've got a bunch of the X-Men and Avengers just kind of chilling out together.
Yeah, maybe it's not. I mean, it's definitely more realistic than most cover arts, but some of the faces make me think it might not be his.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so whenever we open up, once again, we're covering issues 1, 2, 3, and 4 today. We open up on an intense scene that's a bit ambiguous at first, but we realized soon that it's childbirth. You know, and fun tidbit. Saga opens the same way. Like,
oh,
the,
right.
The very first scene is childbirth.
Much spicier version.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, an intense scene of childbirth. And then we turn the page and we see various mutants around a bed celebrating with Wanda, a.k.a. Scarlet Witch, and Vision on their twins. We see Cyclops, Magneto, Pietro, a.k.a. Quicksilver. Do you know who these other ones are?
This looks like Doctor Strange.
Oh, you think? Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
The hair, and then this is Vision, of course, and then this makes me think Elektra.
Okay, cool.
Which is kind of a weird pull, but here we are. Yeah.
Anyway.
It should be noted, this is an X-Men comic or event, but the Avengers are definitely involved, like a lot of them.
So there's the whole page, though. There's these strange, like, bits swirling around the page. Yeah, particles, broken stones, sheetrock. I don't know. It's just like something is amiss as we look at this. Mm-hmm. And eventually we see Professor X rolls in and he just starts telling her, put it back. Put it back. You have no children. There's no one in this room but you and me. And you're just like, whoa, wait, what? And then they argue for a little while and the other people in the room start picking up and like arguing back. You know, and he's just like, no, put the world back now. They never existed. And Wanda screams, but finally the world starts to fragment around her, leaving her in an empty room just there with Xavier. And she's just like on the ground, just tortured.
Yeah. And this is where she kind of screams about the fact that she killed the Avengers.
I killed them. I killed the Avengers. I killed my husband. And then she collapses in Xavier's arms.
Yeah. And the look on his face is like truly powerful, like the captured emotion. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously using some of his powers to kind of help control her right now, which I could do, or we could do a whole other episode on that thing right there. There's a lot of drama and study done to Professor X and doing mind control, especially over women in vulnerable positions, and some very interesting takes on that. I'll just say that much. But here he's like trying to console her, but also he looks defeated. Like he's sweating, his nose is bleeding from how hard he's having to work to control Wanda. It's a pretty intense panel.
Yeah. Then we turn the page and then we got our title card where we see the ruins of Genosha. With Xavier, he's gone to try to rebuild a mutant nation from the wreckage.
I should say, this does list the Avengers that
Wanda
accidentally killed.
Yeah. Also, 6 months ago, Scarlet Witch had a nervous breakdown and lost control of reality-altering powers, leading her to injuring many of the Avengers, killing Hawkeye, Ant-Man, and Vision.
Which are some of the ones we just saw in that little, wherever we were. I'm not going to say it's a flashback.
So then we turn the page, and on the next page we see Magneto and Professor X discussing Wanda in the ruins of Genosha. Apparently they've been trying to get her under control by drugging her and like
psychically
putting her to sleep. Eventually Magneto just flies off to the sunset, saddened at the choices he made, which led them here. His war against the humans that he lost, also losing his children. And he says, there are plenty of people who think I deserve this. And Xavier says, maybe, but she doesn't.
Yeah.
And he just like, he literally flies. I looked at the panel where he disappears a couple times, trying to figure out where he disappeared to. I don't see him anywhere. He literally disappeared into the sunset.
Yeah.
That's one of the magnet powers.
Very pretty art here, but also kind of like a post-apocalyptic vibe of in Genosha.
So then we turn the page and we are in New York City and we see three people. Well, eventually three. The first panel, there's just a couple standing around. We eventually learn that they are Carol Danvers, Sam Wilson, and Simon Williams.
A.K.A. Wonder Man.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't know Carol Danvers, there's a little discussion at the beginning of whether she's technically at this point Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's still around the transition of that time. I believe Kelly Sue DeConnick was just getting a hold of the character or about to. I'm not sure on the exact timing of that.
Yeah. So anyway, they're heading to the new... It's funny, they call it Avengers Mansion, but it's a skyscraper.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, that's just, why not? I guess this was before they started thinking of it as Avengers Tower.
Right.
In the movies or whatever. Anyway, they go up to the top, and whenever they're, it shows, like, the X-Jet landing next to a Quinjet. But whenever we finally, or actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. We see some of the X-Men walking. And, you know, one of those iconic, if this had been in a movie, they would have been slow-mo walking away.
Yeah.
Away from the X-Jet where explosions are happening in the background.
What do we have here? This looks like Wolverine, Cyclops, Colossus, Kitty Pryde, Emma Frost, and Beast.
Yep. And then in the next bit, they walk into a room and Professor X is there with the Avengers. And it's basically all of them. I don't know. I can't identify all of them, but is that Yellow Jacket?
Yes.
Yellow Jacket, Captain America, Wasp, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Spider-Man, She-Hulk, Luke Cage, and then two people I'm not sure of.
Sentry is in the background.
Okay, Sentry was one I thought.
Which one are you not sure of?
Is that other one? That's Falcon, isn't it?
Yes, that's
Falcon. Oh, okay, okay. I didn't put that together the first time around.
So he was walking with him out in the street, yeah.
Okay. So anyway, basically, they've decided that they need to talk about what to do with Wanda. And then there's just a quick conversation about that. Then we cut away and we're back over in Genosha and we see Wanda sleeping and Pietro is just like, come in. He's telling Magneto, it's like, they're going to kill her. They're meeting right now to try to kill her. And he's furious, but kind of like a really brutal moment. Magneto says, well, maybe they're right.
For those of you that don't know, there's probably very few or even none of you. Pietro is also Wanda's sister. And at this point in the comics,
brother.
Still Magneto's son. What did I say? Sister?
Pietro is Wanda's sister.
LOL. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're still a family. So Magneto, Quicksilver, Wanda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is Lorna in this world too? Or is that not something that we get until... The events that I don't want to get to yet.
Right. One day.
All right. So then we turn the page and we see the Avengers. We're back at Avengers Mansion and they're at an impasse. Some say they should put her down. But others refuse.
Some of them coldly, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
very
right here we
coldly.
See Emma Frost. What is there to say? Put her down. Like just matter of fact.
Is it Spider-Man that says, what, like a dog?
Right, yeah. I mean, there's some people that couldn't even fathom the thought.
Yeah.
And we get some crossover here with the same kind of arguments of just Civil War here. Mm-hmm. There's immediate division here, but now they're talking about not just revealing identities, but taking a life.
Yeah. Eventually, after all this talk, they go to Professor X and ask if he could help her. And he, like in a really chilling second, he's like, if I could, I wouldn't be here having this conversation. Mm-hmm. Dr. Strange said he's done everything that he can possibly think of at the moment, but he's still searching, you know, because like after they go to X, they go to Dr. Strange. And then we have Emma Frost saying, if word got out that the witch was responsible for what happened to the Avengers, that a mutant killed our beloved heroes of the city, that an out-of-control mutant with reality-altering powers was out there somewhere with a screw loose, it would set mutant-human relations back to the Stone Age. That would be it for us. And so you kind of understand where she's coming from, why she's so cold. She's like, this is a line in the sand, and we've got to do something about it. Finally, after kind of a heated debate, it's never quite explicitly said, I don't think, but it sounds to me like they finally decide that the best course is to kill her. But Xavier, Frost, and Strange are going to be working together to protect everybody as they go through. Is that what you got from it?
Yeah, I
feel like not everybody's least, wanting to kill, but they're like...
we at least have to go there.
We got to go, yeah. So eventually we're back in Genosha. We're coming in on the X-Jet and the Quinjet. And Kitty says, she's looking down and we see the wreckage. All I see in this place is that it is what... All I see when I look at this place is that this is what humans would do to us. Mm-hmm. And that's like, God, that hurts.
Yeah, it's gross.
Anyway, they finally get to the room where Wanda was, that bed, but she's gone. And as they look around for her, Professor X disappears, like just pops out of nowhere. And everybody's like, wait, what? Emma Frost seems to have tracked a signal down. So they just decide, oh, no, I think she's this way. So they go and... they like fly off. The ones that can fly are flying. The ones that can't fly are being carried by the ones that can fly. Yep. I always think that that's a funny thing. Like mm-hmm. you've got like Iron Man carrying Hulk. Not right now, but you know, something like that. It's just a funny moment. Yeah.
He's carrying Cyclops in
this one. Yeah. Where was I? When they get there, Strange says he's not seeing anything. Like he's like, Wanda's not here. I don't see anything. And then Spider-Man kind of comically... Well, I took it as comically because everything Spider-Man says, I take comically mm-hmm. in the comic books most of the time. And he says, look, I have this spider sense thing and it's not tingling. I don't think they're here. And then just like a panel later, he's just like, uh-oh. And he turns. We don't see the little lightning bolts of spider sense, but I get the vibe. he was like, oh, that yeah, something is in there. So right. they turn around and they walk into this big building. Could you ever tell what building it was?
No, it just looks like, it almost looks like temple, a church or a temple yeah. of some sort.
So anyway, they walk into this big building and look around, trying to look for Wanda. But then we get this close up on Spider-Man's face. It's like we've shifted focus to him for now.
Yeah.
And he's looking around, trying to use a spider sense, trying to do whatever. And we get various scenes. And then at one page, we turn the page and it's just a close up on his face. But then there's this like white gold orb that obscures his face and it gets bigger and bigger and then totally washes out the whole page.
Yeah. I kind of interpreted this. Let me know if you didn't, but when he does the thing where he's like, my spider sense isn't going off, and he's like, doesn't get a response.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, hello. And and then in this panel here, the only one who almost doesn't have an obscured face of some sort is Spider-Man. And then we go to the next page and their faces are even more distorted.
Got it. All right. I like that. Like, so
like, it's like, it's already happening.
They didn't hear him.
They didn't hear him in that moment. And then the rest of the panels walking into this temple are just Spider-Man, and you kind of forget that.
It's like they drop away one by one.
Nobody's with him. It's almost like the snap if you've seen Avengers Infinity War, which if you haven't, stop listening and go watch it right now.
Yeah.
And then, yes, what happens is true.
I like that said, a lot more. Yeah, so maybe we went into Spidey time.
Yeah.
And everybody else maybe was like already experiencing this gold white orb.
Well, it's similar also to Infinity War, right? So when everybody gets snapped,
it happens at slightly different times.
Peter in that movie,
he knows. Yeah,
he's feeling it before it happens because his body's trying to warn him that something bad. Yeah. So he has much longer to react.
Yeah.
Than everybody else did, and I think this is a similar thing here.
Yeah, it's funny. I did have, I think subconsciously, my mind was going to Infinity War thinking about that, but I didn't like actively think about it until you said that. But yeah, perfect. So then we turn the page, and it's like now for something completely different. Peter is waking up. You hear this a screaming baby. Wah, wah. And then somebody says, Peter, it's your turn. And he's like, how is it my turn? And then he kind of gets up. And as he walks out, we see he walks by this wedding portrait of him and Gwen Stacy. And end of issue.
Yeah, and you're like, wait, what?
What?
What just happened?
Yeah.
Cool.
What was your initial thought once you got to that moment, on your first reading?
So I think if I'm remembering right, it was a lot of confusion because I read this. It was one of the first Marvel comics that I read with actual like intent of actual reading because my buddy Nick Kennett had the trade of the several issues. Confusion and then kind of slowly, like I was doing the thing where you flip back and forth and like, wait a minute. What did I miss something? Are pages? Is this a misprint?
And when you're digital, you're like, did it load something improperly?
Right. Yeah. So your first thought once you kind of like process everything is like, did everything change? And if so, how? And then you remember the context of where they were at and who they were trying to see was somebody with reality warping powers.
Yeah. My thought, because I read this for the first time a couple weeks ago, was, oh, it's Flashpoint. Like that's like the first issue of Flashpoint, which we covered on this comic or on this podcast. So if you're curious what I'm talking about, you can go back, just look through our catalog. It's there. And we did kind of the reverse where I read everything in Flashpoint. Alex read the main storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So for House of M, I read the main storyline and Alex read everything. Anyway, yeah. So in Flashpoint, Flash goes back and he changes something and the entirety of reality changes because of that. And all these completely different things are happening. So as soon as I read it, I was just like, okay, so this is Flashpoint, but it's not because of time travel. It's because of mutant abilities.
Yes. Another thing that readers might not be aware of or listeners, when he wakes up in a reality where he is married to Gwen Stacy, it's not just crazy because he's not married to Mary Jane, but it's crazy because he knows Gwen Stacy to be dead.
Yeah.
And now he's married to her and has a child with her.
Yeah. I mean, as I was reading it, I knew the Gwen Stacy thing, but things change in comics. So I was like, for all I know, it wasn't really until we got to the next issue, which we're about to talk about, that I'm like, okay, it isn't just one isolated thing, and there are bigger ripples. Right. So,
do you want to take a quick break and then get into the next one?
Sure.
Do you want to keep going? And we're back, and we're going to carry on with issue 2 of House of M. Drew, take it away.
All right, so this one opens up, and we just have like a one single page, but it says so much.
Yeah, this is kind of heavy. I got a little emotional.
We open up in the Bronx in New York. There's just an old man in a red and white hat retrieving his mail, but whenever we see the mail, it says, Stephen Rogers, Captain, USAF. And then he walks outside, and there's these people wandering around. But it's not just like kids playing in the street. It's kids playing in the street with elastic capabilities and fire capabilities, and they're flying. And there's just like all these fantastical things are happening, yet the only real text we see is whenever this kid says, yo, guys, look, it's the old dude. And they stop all their intense magical abilities to stop and look at this old guy as he walks. And you know, that's all we see for now.
Yeah, it's super telling. Like, he just, this old man stares at these kids, and then he just walks down the street.
Yeah, so obviously.
Yeah. So in this reality we find ourselves in, it looks, at least for now, like
either
he's not a mute, or he's not a superhero.
Yeah. Or if he did, something changed and he didn't get frozen in the ice.
Right.
I mean, it could be that. He could have been a Captain America, but didn't get frozen, didn't get unthawed, whatever. So he lived a natural life with Peggy Carter or whatever, you know. Then we go, by the way, this whole issue is just kind of showing us the lay of the land.
Yep.
A bunch of different places. So like every couple pages, we go somewhere new. All right. The next page, we jump to Hartford, Connecticut. And we are in a house with Cyclops and Emma Frost. And they're like waking up to breakfast together. You get the vibe they're married. And there's this, they're listening to the news. And the news thing's talking about this new hit movie starring Mary Jane Watson. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like quickly trying to give us some hit points, like getting ideas of where people are. Then this is a big one that really hits in the gut. Emma is talking about, oh, I need to go see that little Richards boy again today. And Cyclops is like, which one is he? And she's like, oh, his parents were astronauts and they died in the, and he's like, oh yeah. And behind them in the window, we see this huge thing floating by that looks like a sentinel, but not quite.
Yeah.
So in case you're wondering, obviously the Richards, we're assuming these is that's the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, so somehow in this world, they did not survive that explosion that gave them their powers in the first issue.
But, and wait a minute.
Actually, how their kid has to be there, so maybe they did, and then
on
another mission.
Let me learn how to speak. Fantastic Four, have they always kind of been known to be the Richards? Was it ever a secret?
I don't think it was ever a secret, maybe early on, but I feel like...
Yeah, so something has happened where... In this version of whatever is going on, they had the kid before they went up into the
into the
sky.
Right.
Then we move on, and we are in L.A. And Simon Williams, aka Wonder Man, he literally zaps his way into a talk show, and like what they're talking about is his relationship with Carol Danvers, and she's like, "Well, Simon, she's the most popular superhero in America." And she's not even a, you know, and that's like where they leave it.
Mm-hmm. So that's three instances now. We have Captain America, not a mutant.
Yeah.
We have the Fantastic Family, not mutants. And then we have a mention of Carol Danvers, who is something,
not a,
there's a little motif going on here.
And while they're saying that, we jump over and we see Ms. Marvel, Carol Danvers. And she's like zipping through the air, chasing down some thieves. And all around, there's like people flying through the air. It's like, it's not even flying through the air to do things. Like one of them's just like, on my way to work. One of them literally has a briefcase and they're flying through the air.
We're getting a feeling that maybe mutants are a little more successful and out in the open than before.
Speaking of mutants, as she's dealing with her crime, one of the guys that's driving calls out and is like, hey, Remy.
Yep.
And if you know, Remy, those of you, well, in case you don't know, I'm going to keep talking and give you another hint. Mm-hmm. We see someone in a trench coat charging up something pink in his hands. And then as Ms. Marvel jumps down and stops the car, like flips the car over into a park. And then we see the glowing pink things are playing cards that Remy is throwing at Ms. Marvel. Anyway, she grabs him, drops him off at the police. at the foot of a statue, I didn't catch this the first time around, at the foot of a statue of one of those old school giant sentinels with an inscription reading, "The mutant blood lost here was the last that will ever be lost in war." Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, geez.
So now, if we're looking back to the war that Magneto lost before this change, maybe the course of that war changed.
Yeah. And by the way, the guy with the playing cards, Gambit.
Gambit. Also, he has some sweet French here. How's my French? Salute de sepien de me touche pas. I don't know.
What did you just say?
Something about a sapien. So he's,
oh, that's
he's
the first mention of sapien, yeah.
He's insulting the fact that she's not a mutant, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what me touche pas means.
Touche.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe not bad for a mutant or a sapien.
For a sapien.
Yeah.
All right, then a really quick one. We cut to Cincinnati where we see Mrs. Pride, or Miss Pride, Kitty Pride, and basically she's just a teacher, but she's teaching a room full of exceptional children about mutant history.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, we see her, and then, boom, we move on.
Yeah, so we're really not hanging out. We're, like, trying to figure out context of what's going on. This one's pretty interesting, too.
Yeah. And we jump to Hell's Kitchen, and we're following Detective Sam Wilson.
Ooh.
I got a joke for you. Detective Sam Wilson walks into the bar. That's all. I don't actually have a joke. That's just literally what happened. He walks into a bar where Luke Cage is surrounded by people. Ba-doom. Psh. It's the worst joke ever. Anyway, yeah, Luke Cage is there. And
you get like villain vibes though, right?
Yeah. Or,
like,
oh, totally. If not villain, definitely not on the up and up.
Right.
Yeah. And Wilson's looking into info on what happened to Wilson Fisk last night. Mm-hmm. And apparently somebody beat Wilson Fisk into a coma. I don't want to see that person. Like,
yeah,
that's scary. Anyway, Luke starts applauding, and he's just like, this is for the man, whoever did that to Wilson Fisk. But then we kind of have the first little tilt where he's like, hey, Detective Wilson, how many photo ops do they make you take a week being the token sapien? Mm. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we move. We're still apparently in New York because it doesn't say we're anywhere else. But we see Stephen Strange, PhD of psychology.
Yes.
Treating somebody named Robert who's having a vision of a black wall descending on him and his boy that then disappears. Do you have any idea? Is this a deep
cut? This is Sentry.
Oh, okay.
Sentry is a pretty obscure character. Even
he's kind of like the Superman, isn't he? Or is that Hyperion?
That's more Hyperion. Okay. Sentry is... He always reminds me, his power-wise, of a mix between Thor and Superman.
Okay.
But he... The big thing he has is that he's super power, but his main villain is this thing called the Void that comes from his own powers and is constantly there that he can't kill, that is like the negative of him. So this big black wall is like the metaphorical void.
Got it.
That's kind of overtaking him here. Cool. And then his name is Robert something, I believe.
All right. Then we turn the page to Russia, and we see a metallic colossus literally just single-handedly pulling this giant plow. Like he's tending to this field by himself, and that's it. It's just like
it's kind of beautiful and tragic at the same time.
Yeah, like we know his capabilities, but he's just being used for his strength. But I mean, I'm sure he's going leading himself to feeding a bunch of people, so there's that. Then we have one that's kind of like it really gives us some info. We jump to Chicago and we see the Hanks, Hank Pym, Hank McCoy, who is not blue like Beast. Mm-hmm. He's more just like a beastly looking human. Anyway, we learn from this that Pym is interested in trying to isolate the mutant gene, which we kind of know has never gone well in any version of anything.
Yeah, it's an interesting skewer on that concept, right? Because we've seen things like that before, people trying to isolate it to track down mutants. That's where the whole Sentry program came from. But
this is more like, I want to isolate it to figure out what makes these people exceptional.
Yes.
And essentially... McCoy says it would be impossible now. Maybe you could have before World War II, but now it's too complex, which that right there makes me think we've gone back to long before the battle at Genosha.
Yeah.
Because if we went all the way back to pre-World War II, you know. Anyway, but now it's too complex to be able to isolate. And plus, it would be viewed as anti-mutant. And he makes a comment, Tony Stark, the most successful sapien in the world, who's paying your bills... wouldn't be too keen on that.
Right.
And then basically we keep talking, and McCoy is essentially saying, When it happened to the dinosaurs, they didn't see it coming. It's tough watching your species slowly go extinct when you have the intellectual capacity to feel like you can do something about it.
Hank saying that.
Yeah, Hank McCoy.
Right.
But then, like, the real cut of the whole thing is like, but imagine if the roles were reversed. I don't know what I would do. Which is funny because literally every other comic, the roles have been reversed. And it is the mutants as the underfoot.
Yeah, so the humans
underfoot.
Are we know now are basically going extinct.
Yeah. Then we move on to Paris and we see Aurora Monroe trying on a fancy dress for some event. And
those that don't know, that is Storm.
Yes. And also, I think, I don't know, maybe that's not her. Later, I didn't catch this until recently, but we see Janet Van Dyne. I don't know if that's supposed to be Janet Van Dyne.
It could be. It looks like her.
Okay. Because there's something in the next issue where you kind of see it. Anyway, they're talking, and this is kind of the first mention of it. Aurora says, do you know what the House of Magnus will be wearing? Mm-hmm. So you're like, House of Magnus, House of M.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time that those words have been uttered. Mm-hmm. Then we move on, not really to, we don't know where, it doesn't say where we are, but we see like a very familiar scene. If you have any experience with Wolverine's past, we see Wolverine in a tank where he's getting experimented on. But then we realize it's just a dream because he wakes up with a scantily clad redhead, like literally over him.
We immediately think Jean Grey, we haven't seen her yet. She's not with Scott.
Yeah. But then this redhead says, morning, James. By the way, is James one of Wolverine's names? Or is that something that changed? Okay. I was just always just thought of him as Logan. Is it like James Logan?
It's
Logan
James Logan.
So this whole time, Logan is his last name? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm a doofus. I need to quit this podcast. I didn't know that.
Sorry, I forgive you.
Anyway, he extends his claws and he's like, what is this? And then the redhead says, you didn't mind last night. What's wrong with you today? And she slowly morphs from who we are assuming is Jean Grey to Mystique.
Yeah.
Anyway, he looks around and he bursts out of the room and into the hallway where he sees some strange uniformed people asking if he's all right. One of them even calls him Sir. That's Toad,
right?
Yeah,
it's Toad. I don't know who the other one is.
The other one we learn about later, but I didn't know who it was, so we're not going to mention it. It's just somebody else in uniform.
Yep.
Anyway, he gets out and he starts just running around and then he looks over the edge of where he is that we've thought was a building this whole time. It turns out to be a helicarrier, like a S.H.I.E.L.D. type helicarrier.
So it is S.H.I.E.L.D. It's just the context of what S.H.I.E.L.D. is in this universe has changed. And apparently James Logan Wolverine works for them.
And in addition to the helicarrier, there's all these jets and these crazy looking sentinels that all have that M that we saw on the cover of this book emblazoned on them, which, you may be able to put two and two what you assume that stands for now, but I'm not going to say it because we'll figure it out in a second.
Also,
that's the end of this issue.
Noting that it seems that maybe Wolverine remembers how things used to be.
Yeah.
And then we end issue two. Out of everybody we saw, he might have a lot more power in getting everything back to where it was.
Yeah. Well, apparently the trash is coming by right now, so maybe we'll take a quick break, perfectly timed, and come back with issue three when the trash is done.
See you soon. And we're back for issue three.
Nice. So we'll just go ahead and jump straight in. We pick up right where we left off. Wolverine seems to be having these flashbacks to memories. He was fighting wild animals when he still had bone claws. Captain America is helping him fight ninjas. He's in the tanks being experimented on. He's fighting Hulk, which looks to be like his debut.
Yeah, it's like a cool first person of that.
Then on the next page, we see the Dark Phoenix erupting. He's talking to a woman in a kimono who says he's not worthy. I guess he can't lift a Mjolnir. And then we see Xavier saying, we need to decide what to the fate of Wanda Maximoff. And then finally, he's surrounded by X-Men and Avengers flying into Genosha. When he starts getting surrounded by bubbles of golden light. It's just like, let's just, in two pages, show the entire history of Wolverine. So that, we realize, he's...
He remembers.
He remembers the pre-times.
Yes.
Anyway.
Which is maybe like his healing factor, right?
Yeah.
Like it's healing his mind, so he's able to remember what happened.
That was my initial thought, kind of, too. And then we kind of see... that Mystique has caught up with him. He's like, let's just go grab Xavier and get out of here. And Mystique's like, are you okay? Looking at him funny. He's like, I remember my whole life, everything. And then he asks what they did yesterday. And Mystique says, makes some comment about, you know, there was that fight. Are you worried about the casualties? They were just some human grunts. Mm-hmm. And just like the callous nature of talking about it. But then Wolverine's like, what happened in Genosha? And Mystique's like, I don't know. I haven't read the papers. Did something happen to Lord Magnus? And you're like, uh-oh. Anyway, Mystique asks if he needs to see Madame Web. Do you know? Is that somebody that I should know?
She's a Spider-Man villain.
Okay. Anyway, he's like, yeah, you wouldn't be the first agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. who needs some adjustment. So right. There is like a confirmation agent right. of S.H.I.E.L.D. Anyway, I guess Wolverine's not not having it. So he just hops over the edge of the helicarrier and comes crashing down into buildings. And on the way down, we eventually see that he's like in Times Square, but things are a little different. Like we see Mary Jane Watson, the Allison show, whatever that thing that, Wonder Man was on, those weird looking, Sentinels. But yeah, Wolverine's like, what is going on? But then we kind of turn the page and it seems kind of like what just happened. We'll figure out in a second, but we're essentially seeing the shot of somebody reading the newspaper. The headline is House of Magnus, big day, children of the Atom and world leaders gather to pay tribute. And apparently there's a gala for House of Magnus this weekend. Prince Namor will be attending. And then it has a headline, Eric Magnus and Prince Aurora Monroe of Kenya will be among the dignitaries. It doesn't say Monroe, does it? Just Princess Aurora.
Yeah.
I added that myself. Mm-hmm. Princess Aurora of Kenya will be among the dignitaries celebrating 30 years of freedom from the oppression of Sapiens. So there it is. Something happened at least 30 years ago that led to this. And there's a bunch of other articles and ads kind of showing us what other people are up to. This thing about trouble with Captain Marvel. Spidey and Son. Apparently Parker is known to be Spider-Man in this. And there's a couple other things that, you know, you can check out.
Yeah.
Essentially, we realized that this was Wolverine. He was reading this newspaper. And then all of a sudden the guy... See, Alex is looking at it. Janet Van Dyne, Paris, Milan, New York City. So I'm thinking that she might have been the person with Aurora. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Wolverine is reading this and the guy at the counter is like, hey, you got to buy that. And in classic Wolverine style, he looks over at this dude that has a motorcycle and he's like, hey, I need the bike. Nothing personal. And he just knocks him out and zips off on a motorcycle.
Yeah. Not a good look, Wolvie.
Yeah. So anyway, next we see Wolverine kind of creeping up on Xavier's mansion. You know, that's what that is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like Westchester. Mm-hmm. And he like lets himself in, like makes his way to the main bedroom. And there's this dude sleeping there. And he just like puts his hand over his mouth. And he's like, where's Xavier? And he's like, dude, I think you got the wrong house. He's like, how long have you been here? And he's like, I've been living here for 15 years. And Wolverine kind of like starts thinking, okay, something's wrong. Xavier's not here. So he leaves and the guy's just watching him zip away. And the next we see Wolverine at a random diner and he's talking to an operator trying to get information on Xavier, who is unable to help him. Mm-hmm. But as the thing closes, we see these mutant bullies that are bullying a sape, which I have a feeling is a racial slur in this world. And he just like, he launches his claws and walks over and we turn the page. We don't actually see what happened, but it can't be good.
Yeah. Back to New York.
Yeah. And the next time we see Wolverine, I didn't even realize it. Is this whole issue just nothing but let's wander around with Wolverine?
I think so.
Wandering with Wolverine.
Dub dub.
So anyway,
he ends up at Stark Tower.
Stark Tower. Yes, exactly right. In New York. And he's like walking up to talk to this receptionist and the receptionist is like, look, he's not here. Mm-hmm. He just owns the building. And then before he's able to do anything, somebody kind of like, what does she say? Somebody leans into his shoulder.
Says, what do you want with Tony Stark, James? Bosses want you brought back in. They said any which way.
Yeah. And then we zoom out and we see Mystique, Toad, Nightcrawler. Is that Rogue, you think?
Yes. Oh, it's Drew. It's Jessica Drew, isn't it?
Okay. That's because he does say Agent Drew. I didn't think so. Is that's Spider-Woman?
That's Spider-Woman.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because they mentioned a Jessica earlier, and I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah, so we have, this is the red team, or the red Red something.
Red Squad, Red Army. Squad, I've heard it called
Division
a couple
of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. So Jessica Drew, a.k.a. Spider-Woman, or at least used to be Mystique, Nightcrawler, interesting mm-hmm. one, Toad, and Rogue.
Yep. So anyway, he resists, and he's like fighting them just in this lobby. He's trying to get away. And then as he crashes through a window of trying to get back to his motorcycle, he's evading bullets and the bamfs of Nightcrawler. But he gets to his motorcycle and Nightcrawler is bamfing behind him when all of a sudden, instead of bamf, bamf, it says chuck, chuck. And in the next page, we see Nightcrawler go down with purple arrows coming out of his back. And you're just like, what is... I mean, I didn't catch the chuck, chuck in the arrows the first time.
I'm looking for them now. Is it on
this page? Next page. Next page.
Ew, I was like, what happened?
Yeah, all the way down there. Chuck, chuck. And...
His facial expression, though.
Yeah. That hurts.
A couple of arrows in his back.
Yeah. Purple arrows. Ooh. And Wolverine is riding his motorcycle. He ramps off of something because there's always ramps.
Like a car, yeah.
And as he's coming down, we see, if you've never seen this dude before, like I only know him because I initially got to know him because of the Freeform show.
Yeah.
It was Cloak and Dagger. Anyway, Cloak... is this guy with this big, long, black and blue cloak, and he can use it to, like, transport things.
Right. When he opens it up, it's like an infinite void. Yeah. That
I've heard it's supposed
portal.
To go to the dark dimension.
But I don't know about, him to know.
I don't know for sure,
yeah.
But I feel like I heard that somewhere. Anyway, he opens it up and basically envelops Wolverine and
motorcycle yeah.
and everything and just closes it down, and there's just some guy watching like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah, it's cool because... when it goes through, this motorcycle crashes into a room.
Yeah.
So he went into the cloak, into a room mm-hmm. here in Narnia, mm-hmm. and Wolverine like rolls out of the tumble and screams and pulls out his mm-hmm. his snickers.
Yes. So yeah, as he pops up, he looks around, and all of a sudden he's surrounded by Luke Cage and some other people. Mm-hmm. We'll figure out who they are before too long. But Cage says, is looking at him. He's like, "You've got a tracker in the base of your neck. Crash it now or we'll do it for you." And like there's some arguments.
Wolverine
like,
also says like Cage, and he's yeah. like, "You know me." Like yeah. Cage doesn't recognize him at all.
Yeah. And anyway, there's some argument, and then from behind him somebody says, "You heard the man." And then the next page we see Cloak has transported Hawkeye.
Yes.
In, and he's got an arrow already pointed mm-hmm. at Wolverine. He's like, "Do it."
Yes.
And then that's how this issue ends.
Yeah. This one was a really cool one. Focus a little more on like just one character more yeah. or less throughout the whole thing, but we kind of find out that maybe there's something
yeah.
being done about the House of M right now.
Yeah, and Hawkeye is dead.
Yes, it's another big revelation.
To be dead, right? So
yeah, he was one that Wanda would have mm-hmm. killed. So that's another twist, right? In that not only did she bring back people, if whatever happened, we don't really know, right? In this mm-hmm. moment, like still, if this is Magneto, we kind of assume that it's Wanda.
Yeah.
But whatever happened did bring back people that Wanda had previously killed.
Yeah. So, then we get to the final issue we're going to cover today, issue 4. Mm-hmm. It opens up somewhere else. We kind of step away for a second, and we are in Genosha with, at Castle Magnus. And it's unlike the previous like ruins that we saw. It's like this beautiful shining city with like a castle and everything. And we see this long-haired, rather dapper-looking Magneto looking mm-hmm. down on the city. And then apparently a grandchild
yes.
of his comes up holding up this boat. And they're like, "I made it for you mm-hmm. with my mind."
Yeah.
And you're just like,
I assume this is Wiccan as a child.
Makes sense, yeah. Makes sense.
But the face that Magneto makes after this of him saying, "I made this with my mind," it's the same sunken in,
yeah.
crushed shadows on the eyes that we see Magneto make in issue 1.
I didn't put that together. Yeah. Then we leave Genosha and we go back to Hell's Kitchen with Luke, Hawkeye, Wolverine, and all of Cage and his posse are like crowded around, but the only thing they care about is the tracker and Wolverine. And Wolverine's just trying to get to the bottom, like asking questions like, "What's going on?" But there's no time. And Hawkeye gets tired of waiting and he shoots Wolverine in the neck to stop the tracker. And he's like, "I'm done taking chances with these mutants." That was more of a Wolverine than a Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for my voice. I'm not good at voices. And Cage is like, "You didn't give him a chance." And they're bickering a little bit, but we start seeing kind of like through Wolverine's eyes mm-hmm. a little bit. Like it's hazy, but he comes to, and we see that he's starting to come to, and everybody's kind of surprised. And Wolverine's like, how long was I out? And they were like, wait, how are you alive? And he's like, how long? And like 30 seconds. And he's like, too late. If you wanted to talk to me, you should have yanked the tracker out of my neck before you brought me here. Mm-hmm. And like, just as he's saying that, the ceiling like caves in.
Yeah.
And like wall, ceiling explode. And the next page we see two of those really like ornate looking sentinels just like charging in.
Yeah.
My notes, something auto-corrected. What is it that they're saying? Mine has
sapient threats identified.
Mine are saline targets identified.
Yeah, sapien.
Yeah, so these things are not tracking mutants. This is the first time we've seen their purpose. It's not to track mutants like the OG story. It's to track sapiens.
Right.
But in the mayhem, Cloak is still able to do his thing, and he like zaps them out. Most of them. He doesn't get all of them. Mm-hmm. And whenever it comes out, people looking around where we are, he's like, it's the only place I could think of. It's Kingpin's office. Because he's like, it's the only place I knew was going to be empty.
Right.
And from the window, they can see the wreckage that was just caused by the Red Army that they just got transported from. Whenever they can finally talk, Luke kind of asks Wolverine what he thinks going on here. And Wolverine's like, I think I know exactly what's going on here, but I don't think you're going to believe me. And then Wolverine's like, you don't remember that we're both Avengers? And Cage is like, what's an Avenger? Mm-hmm. So already right there, we're like, got it. So we kind of have this montage, not montage, but like a scene where Wolverine lays it out.
Kind of recaps everything that's gone that he remembers.
Yes. He remembers the mutants being a minority, X-Men building to peaceful coexistence, regular people hating them. He's like, I've been mind wiped so many times, I don't actually remember where I came from or how old I am. One of the biggest problems, mutants in the world, Eric Magnus was Magneto, which my autocorrect corrected to Magenta.
Yeah, of course. Which
is kind of his color, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, he had a couple kids, Wanda, and like when he says that, Hawk is like the human one. And Wolverine's like, what? And Hawk is like, yeah, Pietro, Lorna, and Wanda. Wanda's the human one, raised her as an equal. It's quite inspiring to those who believe everything they read. And, you know, Wolverine's processing all this. And finally he's like, well, day before yesterday, Wanda was a mutant, called herself the Scarlet Witch, ended up she had more power than most anyone ever. She could screw around with the world around her, but she lost control, and not long ago she killed a lot of people. She went nuts or something and attacked her own team, killed half of them. 2 days ago, the X-Men and the Avengers got together to figure out what to do with her because she was out of control. So we went to Genosha, where... Now my brain auto-corrected to Magenta, mm-hmm. where Magneto was keeping her. And then the world just went white, and I woke up like this. Magneto turned himself from exiled mass murderer to king of the world. There ain't no X-Men, ain't no Avengers. It's a mutant utopia. And I got you of all people sticking arrows in my neck.
Yes.
And Hawk is like, what do you mean? What of all people? What about me? Where was I before? And he was like, dead.
Yeah.
You're Clint Barton, Hawkeye, which killed you months ago. And this is the first time that we see this little girl. I think she's been in the background of some panels.
Yeah, she was in the... He sensed her when Cloak was getting them out of underground.
But she's like, I didn't know that was how it happened. Like, the first time I read that, I was like, bum, 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 mm-hmm. there's something afoot.
A little child.
Yeah. So then they start to argue again, just because that's what superheroes always do whenever they meet each other the first time. They either argue or they fight. They don't have a rational discussion. Anyway, Cage said, I got a kid coming. That's what I saw. And Wolverine asked, like, wait, what? What'd you see? And he was like, well, but before an answer is given, he looks around asking who the people are supposed to be. And we realize that there's Moon Knight there, Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if he mentions anybody else. But that's whenever Cage is basically like, look, we're trying to make a difference. We're trying to keep the balance from the underground, trying to make sure sapiens have a fair shake.
Right.
But then,
so it's kind of a reverse thing, right? Like we have an underground team of sapiens mm-hmm, that are mm-hmm. trying to put themselves or have put the, found themselves in the same scenario that the X-Men did.
And then after all this talk, kind of Wolverine gets a vibe and he's like, wait, so you believe me? And Cage is like, yeah. You see that girl over there? The girl from a few panels back. Mm-hmm. Her name's Layla. she came up to me yesterday saying everything you just said. She didn't know all the details, but she knew it. And then she shows me. I could see it in my mind as clear as anything. So this girl's somehow able to remember things.
And she made him remember
his
life with his kid with Jessica Jones when they have a kid.
She's like the, what was it on The Matrix?
The Oracle?
Kind of like the Oracle.
Kind of, yeah.
Like she's a system. Mm-hmm. She's a something that exists to keep regulation.
Right. Keep things in check.
Anyway, and then we kind of have this thing. Wolverine's alluded to it a few times, mm-hmm. but now he kind of actually lays it out. He's like, I don't remember where I came from or anything, but 2 days ago, because he's like, yeah, I've been mind wiped so many times, I don't remember anything. But 2 days ago, I woke up and I remembered everything, every moment of my life. It's all I ever wanted. Magneto got his daughter to give us all what we ever wanted so he could have what he always wanted. And Cage looks over and is like, how would he know what everybody wanted? And Wolverine kind of is like, Charlie.
Yeah, Charles Xavier. Yeah.
And I don't know, like this just probably in 2007, mm-hmm. they were still a pretty big thing, but I think phone books is one of those things that has just lost its...
Yeah.
It was like, is there a phone book
recently?
Here?
They're so tiny now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Also, it's just like, how is this still worth making?
Yeah. I mean, a phone book is only as good as its yellow pages now, right? I mean, so it's a chance to find local artisans, local,
right.
Things like that. So anyway, there's a lot that they talk through in the next couple pages, mm-hmm. but I think we can basically sum it up by saying... we eventually make it to Emma Frost's house.
Yes.
With the whole crew. She comes and she's like, what? Are you robbing me? Who's in my house? And anyway, Layla uses her power to give Emma back her memories. And she comes back. She's angry, demanding to take down the house of Magnus. She's like, we're going to kill him and his kids. And Wolverine's like, hey, I got no problem with that. But if we're going to do it, we're going to need a lot of help. And even with help, it doesn't mean the whole world still isn't screwed for good.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of issue 4.
Mm-hmm. So we now have a means to getting people to remember what happened. And you got to figure that the more people find out that Magneto took, it's kind of messed up, right? Like mm-hmm. he took his, took advantage of his daughter who was having these awful things and like used it to completely change the outcome of everything that had happened thus far in the world.
Truth.
Thoughts on the first 4 issues? There's still 4 left.
Yeah. Like I said, it was good enough that I couldn't stop.
Right.
And I just kept reading. I was like, I don't care if I need to wake up early tomorrow. I'm going to keep reading these until I'm done. So, I mean, yeah, I do keep likening it back to Flashpoint mm-hmm. and assuming that eventually somehow things are going to get righted.
Yeah.
But I have
no idea
how.
Maybe things don't happen how you might think.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I dug it. In some ways, like, it definitely has a little bit of kind of dated art look, some of the buxom beauties.
Yeah.
The way that they draw the women is not
still
like
still pretty
see it
sexualized,
now.
Which isn't completely gone, unfortunately.
Not as much as I kind of expected back then, but like everyone's, it's like, there's
Emma
a few
Frost,
times.
Especially this. It's just like,
you're in a robe.
You're barely wearing the robe you're wearing.
Yeah. Of course you're naked underneath.
Right.
You know? Anyway, but yeah, I like it. And I think I would have approached this completely differently if I hadn't watched WandaVision and Multiverse of Madness. Like,
sure.
I keep thinking about, I can see where they pulled mm-hmm. imagery and ideas of this for that.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
This is one of the ones, bigger events that I've read several times, and it's been fun to revisit. I didn't really say much about the tie-ins because honestly, like, they're just not required to follow. I mean, they flesh out a little bit more of what heroes have ended up doing. Like we did see some snippets of other happenings going on in that Pulse newspaper that was reading, mm-hmm. and they kind of flesh out some of that.
Okay,
Honestly, like, it's worth reading, but it's not necessary to read. Like there are a few though that I did skip. Maybe I'll post those in the Discord. That's what I'll do. I'm gonna go into the Discord and I'm gonna write a list of the ones I think you should read and ones that you can pass and probably feel fine about. And it's worth it. It does give you more context and kind of flesh out the details. And I think if you like comics, you're typically a fan of that continuity. But some of them, it just kind of like drags a little bit and gets a little bit obscure. But a lot more changes than what has been portrayed in the core issues. And I think that's what the bulk of it is like, okay, we only can show so many changes before we got to like move the plot along. But if you want to see what else changed, here it is.
Similar to, I know I keep drawing back to it, but similar to Flashpoint in that exact same way. Actually, wait, do you remember when did Flashpoint happen? Actually,
way before this.
Are you sure?
In the OG Flashpoint, like the 70s or something like that?
I don't know. Anyway, the one we read might have been after this. The one we read
is old.
I don't know.
It had to have been. Wait.
Because I thought that what we read ended up leading into New 52.
Right. We read an issue.
That was just the Flash of Two Worlds.
Right. But did that not have anything to do with...
No. That was just the reason we read that was the introduction of the multiverse in
comics. Right. Yeah. Okay, maybe it was close time. I'm not sure.
This may have come first.
Like, I'm not sure which came first.
Maybe, I mean, I'm going to look that up. It's not going to be my trivia question.
Yep.
But I'm going to look that up so that all of our fans will know.
Cool. Well, speaking of trivia, we're going to take a quick break to go find some trivia questions and we'll be right back.
And we're back with our lightning round trivia, where the questions are faster than I looked it up and found out that Flashpoint was second. This was first.
When did that come out?
Flashpoint was up leading up to, or like March, or sorry, May to August 2011. This was 2005. So I'm sorry. All those times I was like, this makes me think of Flashpoint. It should be the other way around. Flashpoint makes me think of House of M.
You did read Flashpoint first.
Yes, I guess. I did.
DC always copying everything Marvel does. Yeah, nothing original.
Just like Doom Patrol and Doom Patrol came before X-Men.
By the way, did you see that show is... It was rumored that it was being canceled. It's not. Their last season that has been planned to be the end is season 4.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I'm cool with that because that means that they have time to end it on their terms, hopefully.
Yep, tell your story and get out.
Which cool. I do think I'm going to go back and rewatch Titans and Doom Patrol from the beginning, even though they're like Doom Patrol had its backdoor pilot on Titans because they introduced a bunch of the characters, but they're not totally related. But I think I'm going to go back and rewatch all of Titans and Doom Patrol in order because it's good enough. I need to because I never finished the last season of both of those.
Same, except I've watched even less.
Cool. So do you want to go first? Or do you want me to?
I'll go. This one has to do with some a little bit MCU inspiration crossover stuff. In WandaVision, there is a Easter egg that points directly to this comic event. Can you tell me what it is? It's a blink and you'll miss it kind of thing. Maybe not quite blink, but turn your head and you'll miss it.
I was trying to play the thinking music, and it's not like letting me. Anyway,
thinking music is playing.
Man, I don't know. I can't remember.
Final answer.
Yeah.
In the opening episode, when they have Vision's boss and boss's wife over for dinner. Mm-hmm. Wanda pours everybody a glass of wine from a bottle named Maison de Mépris, which stands for House of Contempt. And on the label of the bottle, there's a big fat M across the top. So it's doing a cross or juxtaposition of House of M with House of Contempt, showing that Wanda is holding this whole town in contempt and control. Showing that she has control over the whole city before we even know what's going on in episode 1.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
A lot of fun little Easter eggs.
All right, so I've got a question.
I have an answer probably wrong.
And I already know that you're going to get two of them.
Wow.
So basically, there's three answers, but only one point.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are the three names that Magneto has gone by over the course of comics and movies and such?
Magneto.
Well, sorry, I meant like human names.
Oh. Do I need first and last names?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Eric Lynchure.
Uh-huh.
It's Magnus something.
I mean,
Magnus Lyncher?
No, just
Magnus. Eric Magnus.
That's
right.
What was in this one.
Right. Yeah.
And then the last one, which was what he was born.
He was born as, I don't know, Eric something.
No.
Tell me.
Max Eisenhart.
I had no idea.
Okay. Eisenhart
is typically a Jewish name.
Yeah. I think so.
I was trying to think of something like Eric Weisen something, but
Weisenheimer.
I didn't want to be offensive.
Well, okay. We're just like always, 0-0.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
Cool. Well, that's it. Definitely go and read this series if you haven't already before next Tuesday. Because that's what we'll be back with.
Also, if you're listening to this, there's a good chance that our Alex and Drew Rank the MCU solo episode is up covering Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Mm-hmm. We're doing just the MCU in that episode. We're going to try it out and see how it goes. Go check it out.
And if you want to hear what we've talked about, or if you'd like a more in-depth Alex and Drew Rank the MCU, experience, mm-hmm. AKA go back to the beginning and talk through all of them as its own thing, then join the Discord and let us know.
Yeah, there's a chance that we will go back and maybe not like do full rewatches, but do some study and recap on our own to like rank all these. But
yeah,
we would love if that's something that we can get a little more engagement with. It'd be super cool. I've seen several listeners' lists, so join in. It's a lot of fun.
Yep, and you can get a link to that MCU ranking list through our Discord. We're considering trying to figure out a way to get that to you through like an email mailing list.
Yes.
If you would be interested in being like a two-man mailing list where every couple weeks you get something in your inbox from us, like what we've been reading, or something like that, mm-hmm. Join the Discord and let us know, because that's something we've been considering as well.
For sure. Cool. Until next time, we will talk to you later. Read The House of M. It's really good.
It's an order. I am Eric Magnus.
Bye. Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris. Salute de Sepian de Me Touche Pas.